Hey, it's your friend SJ, and welcome to the Wellness and Wellies podcast. Hey friend, now on this podcast, we talk a lot about anxiety, about ways that we can support not only our physical health, but also our own mental health. But today's episode, I want to talk and have a little bit of a conversation with you about anxiety in our kids and our children's mental health. And the reason I'm going down this rabbit hole, which is a rabbit hole that I've sort of been experiencing probably for nearly 2 months now. And a lot of this has started with my daughter, with us moving house. And we moved house about 2 months ago now. My daughter Chloe, who is 6 years old, also moved schools, and it was a really difficult decision for us to make, obviously, because it can be difficult for children to move schools and make new friends. But we felt that ultimately where we are right now and the lifestyle that we have was the best thing for us as a family, and we really sort of hoped that the school that we chose was going to be really good for her. It was sort of like a similar kind of setting that she was used to, and we knew that it was going to be difficult for her. But I don't think I was really prepared for the impact that this change and this different style of school has had on Chloe. Now, let's talk about kids and anxiety, because like, I'm a teacher. I've been a teacher for over 20 years now, and I have mainly taught older children. So a lot of the time when I've experienced anxiety and seen anxiety in older children, it manifests itself very differently in the way that it does in younger children. And I really started to notice some things change in Chloe's behaviour. Now, she is a really happy-go-lucky, like easygoing kind of kid. She's never been one for worry or anxiety. She's very much like her dad in that way. He's quite kind of like happy and easygoing. And we really started to notice like some changes in her behavior. And if you look at like anxiety and how it manifests itself in younger children, we were ticking a lot of the boxes. So we were finding like she was quite sort of restless. She was talking a lot about stomach aches, headaches. She would have like some really unusual sort of outbursts of anger. And on one occasion, she'd gone into my bedroom, and she'd basically taken the duvet and the pillows and everything and just thrown them all on the floor. And this is not like usual for her. Like, that has never happened. She's really like I said, like, she's always been really happy, easygoing. And we really started to notice that there were some really like big changes in the way that she was behaving. There was a lot of like crying before going to school, telling me that she had tummy ache, telling me that she was like her tummy was hurting and her body felt funny because she didn't want to go to school. And it was really difficult, like really hard. If you've ever had a child who is anxious or worried about something, I'm sure you've experienced like these kind of things. And this was not something that I have ever come across in my own daughter. I've experienced it as a teacher with other children, and in my role as an educator, like I've helped and supported them in the ways I can. But it's very different, isn't it, when you're actually the parent of the child. And there was a number of incidents where she was just like outright saying to me, I don't want to go to school, clinging on to me, crying. It was just awful, and it's not anything that I've ever experienced before. So with Chloe, what I did was I sat down, we had a conversation about, you know, what it is that she's upset about, you know, how she's feeling, like what are the things that are kind of making her sort of feel so unhappy. And ultimately the crux of the matter was that she was feeling under pressure in her new school, and that she was feeling that she wasn't hitting like the expectations in terms of the things that she had. Obviously, you know, like schools do things differently. Like she'd learned some things in her old school and then not some things in her new school. And I think she was really feeling like the gaps in, you know, like the curriculum, because she'd moved from one place to another. And one of the things she was super worried about was times tables. Now, I just kind of want to like backtrack a second here, because like, I don't know about you, but my experience of school when I was younger, I really don't remember like learning my times tables when I was 6 years old. And if you think about like education in other countries, for example, outside like the UK, there are countries that their children don't actually start school until they're seven. So I think, first of all, that in my opinion, there's quite a lot of pressure on young children. And my daughter was really feeling the pressure of knowing these times tables, that she had like a test coming up, and she was really, really concerned about getting the answers wrong to this test. Now, I don't know about you, but my experience as I remember it at school was very different when I was a child. And also, having been in education and been a qualified teacher now for 20 years, when I started as a teacher 20 years ago, like the school system here in the UK, and I can obviously only reflect on my experience and what's going on in the UK, but I know that this isn't dissimilar to what many of you are experiencing in the US, Canada, Australia. I'm sure it's the same. But the process and the system is so different. And I really feel that over the past 20 years since I've been in teaching, that children have been put under more pressure. We're trying to cram more and more knowledge and information into the curriculum. And, you know, if you look at some of the examples, I mean, certainly with older children, for example, you think about like exams. Like when I was sort of like started teaching, and my subject when I started teaching was geography, like we had quite a key coursework element. And, you know, it was very much about getting the kids outdoors and experiencing, you know, the outside, and geography as a subject outside, because ultimately that's what it is. But over time, so much of that has been taken away, and so much of that sort of like coursework element has gone. Children really are just having to kind of like learn information to regurgitate it in an exam in a classroom. And that's one of the main reasons why I left teaching, was because I just felt like I was teaching children to pass an exam, and I wasn't setting them up for success in the real world. But I really didn't realize that this was the case for younger children. Because obviously as a secondary school, high school teacher, like I was teaching a subject that they were then taking an exam in. And I really felt like I was doing a massive disservice to the students in my care, because I wasn't like teaching them like to cope in the real world. I was just teaching them to pass this exam. But as a parent of a younger child now, who is in, she's in actually in her third year of school, like I really feel like this is the same. It's like these kids are under so much pressure to have this knowledge, and then for the schools to be testing the children to prove to other agencies, you know, like the government, the people that write curriculum, Ofsted, and I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole in this podcast, but you know, schools are under pressure, teachers are under pressure to produce this, like, you know, these results, and to be constantly testing children to show that they are like making progress, that this pressure that is like coming from, you know, government, Ofsted, is going into teachers, it's going into schools, and then it's impacting children. And it's obviously massively impacted mine, because she's getting stressed about making sure that she passes this test on times tables. And to me, that is just absolutely bananas. Like, absolutely bananas. I did not envisage that I was going to have to sit down with my six-year-old and help her overcome anxiety about passing a test at school at 6 years old. So this episode is I'm going to talk you through some of the things that I did with my daughter to help her kind of overcome this. But ultimately, what I want to do is I want to hear from you. I want to know, do you feel the same as me? Like, maybe you've got older children and they're experiencing this. And I know older children experience this because I've been in the system and I left the system because I felt it's putting older children under too much pressure. Do you feel that children have too much pressure? Does your child like struggle with anxiety? What do you do? Or are you somebody who perhaps has decided not to have your child in school? Maybe you home educate. I'm just really, really interested to hear like what your thoughts are, what your experiences are. And I'm going to link a Google form in the show notes. And I'd love for you to just share with me like your thoughts on this. I'm going to ask like some specific questions because it's really going to help me to kind of get a better idea of, you know, like what your thoughts and experiences are. Really, because that's going to help me as a parent to sort of better understand what's going on for my daughter and, you know, to sort of start thinking about like moving forward, how I can support her. And then also, you know, how I perhaps as a teacher and my knowledge and my experience as a teacher could potentially not only help my daughter, but support other children as well. So yeah, if you could take a moment just to like complete this Google form for me, that would be so helpful. And I would be so, so grateful. So the second part of this podcast really is about talking about how I navigated this with my daughter. And I am going to say again that this was not something that I was expecting to have to navigate with my six-year-old. And I really don't blame the school and I don't blame teachers, because ultimately, like, we as teachers, and this is why I left, have a huge amount of pressure on us to like get this knowledge in kids and then get them to be able to like regurgitate that knowledge in some form of exam or test to prove that we are good educators. And we know that that's not what learning is about. And if you think about, like, I was reflecting on this the other day, if you think about like your job or if you own a business, like, you never do that kind of thing. Like, you never sit an exam in your day-to-day work. You never, you know, you're more likely to be working on like ongoing projects or, you know, having to show up consistently on a day-to-day basis in doing like, you know, similar kind of things. Like, we don't, you know, in the workplace, we don't sit exams. So this is why I really kind of like sort of been reflecting on this and, you know, how, as I know, like as a teacher, I left the system because I didn't believe in it. I'm really reflecting on my daughter's experience and seeing this through very different eyes with a very different lens. I'm really thinking about, you know, is there something that I can do as a teacher, as an educator, to support other children who are feeling this anxiety and really struggling with this? So I thought as a first point, that, you know, we talk about anxiety on this podcast, I thought I would share with you how I kind of navigated this with my daughter. And maybe it might be something that will help you, or maybe it might be something that you want to share with a friend who's maybe going through something similar. So first of all, I really did kind of like reflect on the things that I talk about in this podcast all the time. I talk about healthy habits. I talk about like your physical and your mental health being so interlinked to one another. And, you know, as adults, we talk about, you know, mental health, and there's all these apps out there to support, you know, like calm. And, you know, we talk about meditation and well-being and, you know, going on retreats and gong baths and all of these things. And I really thought, you know, like these healthy habits that I talk about on this podcast don't just apply to adults, do they? They apply to our children. And I know if you're listening to this, it's really likely that you're a mum and you have a family, and you're probably the person who steers the ship for your family And you are probably the person who, if your child is struggling with something, you are going to be bending over backwards and doing everything that you can to support them and try and make it better for them. Because it's so hard as a parent, isn't it, to watch your child be unhappy, to be anxious. And I just really felt the feels, like seeing my daughter go through this, seeing her experience this. And it really has brought up some really, really big questions in my mind. But before I go into those questions, let's just kind of return to the things that I sort of did with Chloe. And, you know, I'm not like a child psychologist. I'm a parent. I am an experienced teacher. I've worked with children for a really, really long time. And I've worked with a lot of children who have struggled with anxiety. So one of the things that I did, first of all, was I really just allowed Chloe to express herself. Like, if she needed to, you know, have a moment, like lose her crap, throw stuff on the floor or whatever it was, like in that moment when she was like, you know, worried about school or whatever, I just let her do it. Because in that moment, and I know this having been a teacher for so long, that, you know, if you meet children in the same way that they are behaving, you're not going to get anywhere. So, you know, if they're shouting at you, you shouting back isn't going to work. I know this because I've been in a classroom with children for years and years and years. And if they're shouting at you and they're angry, you know, if you've been in an argument with a friend or a family member, if you're both shouting, you don't get anywhere. It just makes the situation worse. So it just allowed her to express herself. And it's one of the things I always remember from my teacher training, actually, that one of my mentors said to me was that kids, you've just got to let them blow it out sometimes. Like, you've just got to let them blow it out. And she also said to me, she said, if they're blowing this out at you sometimes, it's because they trust you. And it's because they know that you're not going to reject them and that you're actually creating like a space, a safe space for them to blow off this steam. And this is something that I've really noticed with Chloe, is when she came home from school, like she needed to let it out. And unfortunately, like, I was the one that kind of copped it. And I will talk about this in a separate episode, but there were some things that I'm doing for myself before I actually go and get Chloe from school to help me to be in the right place to be able to emotionally support her. So I gave her the space she needed, first of all, to express herself. And obviously, if those actions were things that I didn't want her to do, you know, obviously I don't want my stuff thrown on the floor. When she calmed down, when we'd spoken about it, she had to go and pick that stuff up. You know, if you make a mess, there are consequences and you've got to tidy it up. Second of all, we talked about, you know, how she could relax. You know, the things that she likes to do to help her to feel calm. I taught her a simple like breathing exercise. It's called tree breathing. I can link that in the show notes for you. It's really, really simple. And then I started to think about like the things that I talk about on here as well, making sure that she was getting enough sleep, making sure, you know, all of this sleep hygiene that I talk about for us as adults, making sure all of that, you know, stuff was in place for her, you know, not using, I mean, we don't use technology much in this house with Chloe anyway, but making sure that she was like not, you know, watching the TV before bed and just having a really, really solid, calming bedtime routine with her, which we have anyway. Making sure that the food that she was eating was good. Just kind of checking in on how much sugar was going in, you know, the sweets, removing like those ultra processed foods. I've done a lot of episodes around ultra processed foods, thinking about like food colorings and additives, which I was talking about in last episode. And then also just like really, really, this was like the winner and is the winner. It's always been the winner. And I will argue till I'm blue in the face that this like is the winner for all children, is getting outside. Like, I really, really believe that nature is therapy for us. You think about how good you feel when you've been on a walk in the countryside, like breathing the fresh air, you know, getting outside. If you work in an office, how good does it feel to go out outside at lunchtime and just move your body and walk? So the real key difference, and the thing that I have really put in place, and this was something that I was doing before without actually thinking about it at her old school, is making sure that she is getting outdoors after school. My daughter is an outdoor child. Her dad is a farmer. Like, she needs to be outside. And I really believe that this is the same for all children. And if you think about it, like, your kids, when they're at school, I know this myself because I've been a teacher, like, they are indoors a lot of their time. And even particularly the older ones, like, so much for the older ones, because we expect them to be sat in a classroom for hours on end learning. And, you know, I will say, yes, that works for some people, but for the majority of people, that isn't a great way to learn. And for a lot of us, you know, like, concentration levels, you know, all of that kind of thing. But I really believe that one of the key things we can do for our children is to make sure that they are getting outside as much as possible. Like, nature is therapy to us. As humans, nature is therapy to us. So it got me thinking, like, at our old school, where Covey was before, we used to do this automatically. Because what we would all do at the end of the day is the kids would come out of the school, and the other side of the road to the school was a playing field. And whether it was raining or not, or whatever the weather was doing, like, we would stand there, you know, for maybe like 10, 15, sometimes longer if the weather was nice. And we would stand there under our umbrellas with our big coats on, and we would just let our kids just run round that field. And they just did. They just went. And they, you know, they took all their, like, honestly, I think about it now. Like, they took their jumpers off. They were running around in the cold. And they had a brilliant time. And it was such an important time for all of them to just, like, let off that steam that they needed to do. They were running around in the grass. There was some trees around. They were picking up branches. Their hands were in leaves. They were just loving it, and some of the games that they were playing were really interesting and fun to watch, and it was just a really good social opportunity for them to be outside after school, letting off that steam. And I really think that for my daughter, where we've moved to a different school and a different, like, routine and process, that's something that she has really missed. So my key thing, and I think the key difference that I've done for Chloe now that we've moved, is making sure that she is getting outdoors as much as possible. And as I'm recording this podcast, like, I can hear her in the garden shouting. Like, that's, you know, that brings me joy, because she's happy and she's outside. And I know how important being outside is for her. And I really believe that that's really, really key for all children, is this idea of getting outside, getting into nature, and doing as much as we can as parents to support them with that, because that's not going to only help them, it's going to help you as well. Like, you being outside with your children is going to support your mental health, your physical well-being as well. Nobody is going to lose in that process. Like, nature is therapy, and I'm going to keep talking about that. So it's really got my brain thinking about this process, about the importance of being outdoors, about children, how they struggle with anxiety, and the importance of outdoor learning. And this was something that I absolutely believed in when I was a teacher, and I found it really frustrating because I would come up against so many obstacles within the system that would prevent me from taking children away on field trips, that would prevent me from taking children on residential trips and things like that. And I think back to the trips that I took and the experiences that I had when I was younger. And there were so many, like, days out. There were so many, like, week-long residential trips that I did as a teacher, and the change in children was just massive. And I tell this story a lot of how when I used to take children on like week-long residential trips, and they would come on the coach and they would have like their sweets and their, you know, their junk food and that kind of thing. And the kids that I used to take on their trip and the kids that I used to bring home afterwards were two very different forms of children, because they spent a week away from screens, they spent a week away from junk food, and they'd spent a week being outside. And it was just like really dramatic. I mean, once we got over the initial like, oh miss, I don't want to do this, and you know, that kind of thing, like it was just so amazing to see the transition in these kids and the way that they behaved and the way that they engaged and the way that they looked and felt. And it was just mind-blowing. And it's really taken me like time thinking about this, seeing like the impact of anxiety in my own daughter has really got me thinking about what I could do as a teacher to support like other children and other families that are going through this. And really, I think my question is to you is, what do you think? Do you think that this is important? Does your child struggle with anxiety? You know, would you like to see your children like getting outdoors more, but you find that they can be quite reluctant to do that? Would you like ideas to help your kids get outside and away from screens maybe? Would you like some ideas of some learning activities that you could do with your kids to help them to learn things that perhaps like my daughter with her times tables that she was struggling with in the classroom? But once we took it outside, and once I was able to use those skills that I have as a teacher to help her learn that particular skill, but by doing it in a different way, she got it. Like, would that be the kind of thing that would be helpful to you? Because I figure, like, if I'm going through this, I can't be the only person. But what I do know is that I have these skills as a teacher who was always really passionate about getting my kids outside, taking them on trips, doing activities with them that so many other teachers just like couldn't be bothered with. And the hours and hours that I used to spend advocating for this and filling in forms and doing risk assessments just to get kids out of the classroom. Like, is this the kind of stuff that you could use? Could you use some ideas for activities to get your kids away from screens? Could you use some ideas? Maybe you're somebody that homeschools. Could you use some extra ideas of how to, you know, do learning outside of the classroom? Please, 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 if you have a minute, take some time to fill in that Google form for me, because that information is going to help me to gauge the idea. I have a feeling that God is tapping me on the shoulder with this, and he's saying, look, you've got some skills here, Sarah Jane. You know this stuff. You know how to support children. It's what I've done for 20 years. And I just kind of want to see if there is a need for this. Is there a need for us as parents to support our children by getting them outdoors more? Is there a way that I can help you to support your children to learn better by getting them outdoors and by doing the kind of activities that perhaps, you know, their teacher isn't able to do at school? Perhaps if I can share some of these tips and strategies and things with you, then you can be doing them at home. You can come together as a family, can get outside, you can do some learning with your kids, you can have some fun, and everybody's going to benefit. So if you have a moment, take some time, fill that form in, let me know what you think, and I would absolutely love to hear from you, because I'm really kind of wondering if as a community, our move is away from this focus on weight loss, and actually, do we need to be thinking about our lifestyle a bit more, the things that we are doing and the way that we're engaging with our children, and using that as our springboard into a healthier lifestyle physically and also mentally, not only for ourselves, but also for our family. So please take a moment, fill in that form. I think I've asked you like a million times to do that. I'd love to hear your thoughts. And let's come back next week and see where God is going to take us as a community and what our next steps are. Have an amazing day, my friend. Have an amazing week. Go and get outdoors. Go and do some playing. And I look forward to connecting with you in the next episode.